Welcome to Watching Bloomington with your host, Barry Lesso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington. Each week we have a chance to talk with a community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And we're happy to have our friend Nathan Ferreira from Habitat for Humanity with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
No, glad to have you. So there's an exciting project that you guys are in the middle of.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got, we are back full capacity, building a new neighborhood, have several other projects getting ready to start and underway. So we are very busy.
Wonderful. Well, tell us a little bit about, so Osage is like, you've done several of these neighborhoods before, right?
Yeah, never to this capacity, never to this level. So Osage Place is in two phases, and this first phase will consist of 30 different habitat houses ranging from 2 bedrooms to 5 bedrooms. We were lucky enough to acquire some land next to RCA Park on the southwest side of Bloomington, and we had some land donated by the Monroe County commissioners, which kind of finished off the neighborhood. When it's all said and done, it'll be 69 units. We are currently building the infrastructure for phase one, which I said is 30 houses, which we'll build those houses over the course of the next 3 or 4 years when infrastructure gets completed this fall, hopefully.
Well, that's exciting.
It's very exciting.
Yeah. So this neighborhood then, so this is really close to a lot of things then, isn't it?
Oh my, yeah. It is. It couldn't be better in terms of the land and where it's oriented. And so it will, it's close to Switchyard Park. It's right next door to RCA Park. About half of the residents in phase one, their backyards will actually open right to RCA Park. We are assisting the city with an east-west trail that will run north of the neighborhood in the, it's called the Duke Easement Trail, and that will actually connect to Switchyard Park. But most importantly, it's close to jobs and resources. And as most people know, affordable housing is a major issue in our community. So being able to have some housing that is there for lower income families who are close to jobs and close to resources like childcare and health services is perfect. And transportation, of course. And so we could not have asked for a better location. And in fact, this is one of only a couple tracts of undeveloped land that are left in Bloomington city limits. And so we were lucky to get in on this several years ago, and it's going to be a huge boon for these families.
And it's nice too. So you have a mix of bedrooms, you were saying too. So that makes it really good for different size families.
Absolutely. Yeah. 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 And just to tell you a little more about these houses, we are building these to what's called zero energy ready, which means we've always built to an Energy Star standard, which means our houses are highly efficient. But the Zero Energy Ready, we do a couple more things to make them even more efficient and to have them completely wired for solar when the family is ready to go solar. And so in town, there's a program called Solar for All that's kind of modeled after Habitat. And the families that participate in our program, they contribute sweat equity building their homes and the homes of other Habitat families. Once they've done that, they can move into their home. Solar for All is kind of similar, where they contribute sweat equity to building, installing solar on other low-income family homes. And then eventually they can get those solar panels for themselves. So we're hoping, if we have everything ready, that these families will eventually be able to add solar in their own time through this program. And then the idea with zero energy ready homes is that they are producing as much energy as they are using, which means their energy bills go down to almost nothing. So, so not only are they in a home with an affordable mortgage through Habitat, which means they're not generally paying interest on that mortgage. They're just paying what it costs to build the house. Then they're also having these energy savings as well, keeping these homes extremely affordable.
Mm-hmm. That's fabulous. And then you're also helping the environment at the same time. So that's like a win-win.
It is wins all around. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you talked a little bit about the sweat equity. Can you talk a little bit about how families get involved with Habitat and how that process works?
Absolutely. Yeah. So our Habitat affiliate, and there's hundreds of affiliates across the country. We've been around since 1988, and we've served over 750 individuals. About two-thirds of those are children. And so we are currently building our 213th house. So since 1988, there's that many homes in the community that are Habitat homes. And what it takes to participate is families, their income is 80% or lower of the AMI, which is the area median income. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, they have to have a need for housing. They have to have an ability to pay back a mortgage. And they have to have a willingness to partner, which generally means mm-hmm. sweat equity. Mm-hmm. So most of our families are coming out of situations where they're in a bad either rental situation or they're in a home that really is not meant to be habitable. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. we have a lot of rentals in town that are not in great shape, mm-hmm. Or it might mean overcrowded. Mm-hmm. So if they have all that, that is one of our conditions. Mm-hmm. And then really that ability to pay is we work with people. So they will never pay more than 30% of their income for their mortgage payment. Mm-hmm. And the cost of their house is actually determined by their income. So mortgages range based on what mm-hmm. families earn. And then that sweat equity piece is every adult that lives in that household has to contribute 250 hours of sweat equity mm-hmm. And participate in homeownership courses, which ranges from keeping a budget to how to take care of your yard and mm-hmm. who to call if you have, utility issues or there's all those things.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like too, I mean, it's a very well thought out program and that you have, not only are you helping them get an affordable home, but you're helping them keep it too and maintain it.
Yeah. And there's a reason Habitat's been around as long as it has and why there's so many affiliates is because mm-hmm. it's a model that really works well. And it's not a giveaway. It really is it's a hand up, not a handout is what we mm-hmm. like to say.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a waiting list right now for homes with families or?
So we don't officially hold a waiting list. What we do is we have periods where we open our applications, mm-hmm. We accept applications. Mm-hmm. And so we did one of these in April for about mm-hmm. 2 weeks, and we had an incredible amount of interest. Mm-hmm. We have processed those applications, and a number of those families have joined our program. Mm-hmm. Because we don't want to keep people waiting years for their house, and because we can only build about 10 to 12 houses per year, we only keep so many people in the program at a given time, which is usually around 18 to 20. Mm-hmm. So we will probably open the applications up again this fall sometime, and we broadcast it widely. Everybody should know when we're ready to do that. Mm-hmm. Certainly if a family is interested, they can contact us and give mm-hmm. us their name and contact information, and we will let mm-hmm. them know when that application mm-hmm. period is open again. Mm-hmm.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Now, I know too, when you said that, you can do about 10 to 12 houses a year, I know sometimes that you have community builds or I know sometimes other organizations work with you. So with Osage Place, is that part of the plan? Will there be community builds with that or is it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the infrastructure itself has been kind of a community build in mm-hmm. that the city has contributed a significant amount of that money to pay for that. And then the county commissioners contributed land. And then we've been fundraising to get that infrastructure built. But then, it's our same Habitat model. Every one of those houses, we raise funds either mostly through individual sponsorships, but also through grants and mm-hmm. businesses that sponsor builds as well. So those, the first two builds, we're hoping this fall will be our women build event, which is our biggest fundraiser. It's about 300 women in Bloomington and Monroe County that fundraise and then actually do the construction themselves. So we're hoping that'll be our first two houses this fall, if everything goes according to plan. So.
Yeah, those are good. I've done those before and they've been great experiences.
So. Oh, good. Good. Glad
to do that. Yeah. So you'd mentioned too that, you know, fundraising is, you know, is part of this and has been part of building the infrastructure and is part of this ongoing. How has the pandemic impacted you? I mean, I know obviously it's been very difficult to run events and have you had to do virtual ones or how have you had to adjust?
So yes, a lot moved virtually, but we definitely lost, quite a bit of momentum in building houses and we really had to, reframe that whole year of 2020.
No pun intended.
Yeah. And exactly. Right. And so we are back up and running full capacity now, but we are playing some catch up definitely. So, I mean, the biggest impact is the families that were hoping to be moving into their homes. A lot of them have been delayed, of course.
Yeah.
We did manage to continue to build some. The construction industry is one of the few areas where it did incredibly well during the pandemic, and they didn't even slow down. In fact, things kind of sped up. So we were able to use through subcontractors and what we call our skilled volunteers, our crew leaders, we were able to make some progress on houses despite the pandemic. And it really is our crew leaders, those volunteers that come over and over again and have construction skills that really carry the organization through the pandemic. It impacted us, but I would say, I mean, it was just a blip and we're back up and running. So.
Yeah. No, and you mentioned that, and I know that is one of the sectors that kept going, and lumber prices and other things I know have gotten much higher than they were for a while.
Yeah. And that's certainly another impact. Luckily we've gotten some grants to help with that. But it is impacting our fundraising, just because we're needing to fundraise more now to build a single house. And, there's signs of hope that some of those things are coming down, but, it definitely has impacted us and haven't had affiliates.
So. Yeah. If, you know, listeners, you know, are interested in this issue of affordable housing and your programs and they want to help support, you know, what's a good way? Should they reach out? You know, I'm sure you're taking donations for housing projects. Talk about that a little, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, volunteering, number one, is the biggest help to us, I would say, the main reason we can build our houses so efficiently and affordably is because we have volunteer labor for the most part. We do have subcontractors that we have to hire for some of the skilled trades, but our volunteers are what make our houses affordable. And so certainly reaching out if people want to volunteer, getting involved through fundraising in some of our sponsorship campaigns is another big way to be involved, like Women Build or any number of our builds. There's always a way to donate to help with that. And then of course our Restore, our Restore, all of the profits from that business or from that, it is a nonprofit, go into our programming. So they actually help build houses through that program. So the Restore accepts donations. They have been so busy lately. we love those donations. Because they've been so busy, we've been running sales constantly. And we're actually going to do a tent sale here in a few weeks just to try to move a lot more merchandise. So donating to Restore, making sure that you look at that list and actually just donating things we can actually use. Sometimes people donate things that we have to throw away, and that's not helpful. But there's all kinds of things that people can donate that are extremely helpful to the program. And then volunteering at the Restore as well. So, I mean, there's lots of ways to volunteer, either as an unskilled builder on a habitat house or becoming one of our crew leaders if you have some construction skills or you have If somebody's newly retired and they want to learn construction skills and become a crew leader, we are always looking for those. Mm-hmm. And then have it or volunteering at the ReStore and, of course, donating to the ReStore are great ways to support mm-hmm. us.
So, great. And then you mentioned, too, the ReStore wanting certain things. So I would imagine going to the website. Is that the best way for people to look for what you're looking for?
Yeah, going to our organization website, there's a whole mm-hmm. section on ReStore. MonroeCountyHabitat.org is our website. And yeah, there's a list specifying a very long list of what we can take. And then there's a few items that we can't take, like mattresses and mm-hmm. those giant old TVs that are impossible to move and TV consoles. We can't take them. And mattresses can't be resold and that kind of thing. Yeah. So,
There are only so many aquarium conversions you can do with old console TVs, huh?
Very true. Yeah, very true.
No, I mean, I think people may not be aware of the variety of items there at ReStore, too. I mean, everything from paint and light fixtures, sink, I mean, anything you could possibly use, and furniture and household items.
Yeah. If you've never been, it's such a fun place to go just to look around, too. You'll always be surprised what you might find there.
Yeah. Talk about where ReStore is in case people aren't familiar with it. It's by Kroger.
Yep. It is over off of College Mall. And it is, let me see if I can describe where it is. Yeah. It is north of the Kroger on by College Mall. Mm-hmm. And I do not have the exact address.
Oh, no, don't worry. Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, here, wait, I've got it. It's 850 South Auto Mall Road, mm-hmm. Indiana.
Great.
Yeah, very easy to get to.
Mm-hmm. And lots of good stuff in there. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah. It's a great space. And they move things quickly, though. So if you see something mm-hmm. you like, you need to buy it when you see it.
That's right. The next day. No, but I mean, they're even like fabric, light fixtures, dressers. Yeah. I mean, whenever you go in there, it's just, there's always all sorts of interesting stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so if you're remodeling your house, that's a good thing to think about too, right? Then people take out cabinets or fixtures. Those would be good things to bring to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cabinets are great. Fixtures, all kinds of unused building materials. So if you bought too much of something, bring it on over. We will certainly sell it. There's gardening things, mm-hmm. furniture. So when students move out, that's a great time to donate things. It's also a great place to shop when students are moving to mm-hmm. town, just because there is so much furniture there. Mm-hmm. We've got an incredible amount of appliances right now. We've had some wonderful donations from apartment complexes. And so there are very inexpensive, high quality appliances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. And then you're reusing something and it's not going into the waste stream. And a lot of those things are in really nice shape.
Exactly. Yeah. We try not to put anything out that's not in working order.
No, absolutely. Now, if people want to donate financially, is the best way to do that to contact your office or go on the website?
I'd say go to our website. Certainly contacting our office is great too. But usually you're going to be directed to our website. And then keeping an eye out for specific campaigns. But again, our website, MonroeCountyHabitat.org. We would love to see people stop by.
Great. Well, Nathan, thank you so much for being with us this morning and sharing information about this. Very exciting. And people can stay tuned also for information on upcoming builds and hope the project goes really well.
All right. Yeah, we were happy to do it. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. And this has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Carl Lamb, attorney at law. For 37 years, Carl Lamb has been a premier attorney in South Central Indiana, helping his clients through extremely difficult times, drawing on his experience, reputation, and responsiveness. For a free initial consultation, call Carl Lamb today at 812-332-1420. Want more? Listen to full episodes on our website at whcc105.com and wbwb.com.